Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with each one of you wherever you are this day. On Thursday we celebrated the Ascension of our Lord, and I thought we might sing together that great Ascension hymn, Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise. Our Gospel reading today is taken from a prayer of Jesus's from the night before he died. He's praying for his friends as they go forward without him. And indeed, although he promises always to be with us from Ascension Day forward, the physical presence of Jesus is gone. Let's listen to his prayer. For those that remain.
A reading from John chapter 17. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them. And have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, and that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the Son of Destruction, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. And these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word.
Jesus is praying for those he has loved and who loved him. The night before he dies, he prays for them. He acknowledges the influence he has had over them, the things they have learnt of him, for he has been a channel of God to them. And he asks for protection for them when he is no longer with them. He asks for their joy. This past month, we have lost people precious to our church families. Frank and Mari from Morley, Rod and June from Smalley, and John from Bradshaw. And you will know too that I have lost a dear cousin this week. I have been pondering what it is we carry with us of those that we have loved and seemingly lost, how different parts of them challenge and inspire us as we go forward. I believe that all that is good in people, past and present, comes from God, is rooted in God, and in the same way as we ponder their influence on us when it is life-giving and love-inspiring, so we are pondering and encountering the Spirit of God, the Spirit we meet in Christ. Of course, it is the Spirit of love, it is the Holy Spirit. Rather than a confession this week, I thought we would listen to the Tese chant, Come Holy Spirit, or Veni Sancte Spiritus. And as we listen to it, I would ask you just to be open to the promptings, the little challenges. Are we living up to the things that those we loved have taught us? Are we living up to the great word that Jesus bequeathed to us as we go forward? Are we living up to that Holy Spirit, and to pray that we might more fully be open and the Spirit might come more fully upon us?
Your glorious name.
Come, Holy Spirit. Before Fran's homily, Donna is going to read to us from the epistle.
The reading is from 1 John, chapter 5, verses 9 to 13. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
John has two main issues to contend with in this passage. The first is the humanity of Jesus, and the second is the validity of his promise of eternal life. Today, we are more likely to face questions about the divinity of Jesus. People have often told me that they accept that Jesus was a good man, but refuse to believe that he was also God. For John, the problem was the other way around. His listeners were quite prepared to accept that Jesus was divine, but were having disagreements about whether or not he was human, and this all tied up in their minds about whether or not he was the promised Messiah, because they were expecting the Messiah to be human. John was trying to explain that if you accepted the word of the Godhead in Jesus, then you must also accept his humanity, because Jesus had said that he was both. If you believe God's word, then you have to believe it in its entirety. God is not going to be half right. This is a problem we have in today's society, though, as I have said, usually the other way round. I have even known several people who have been very happy to believe in the devil, but have denied the existence of God. This is, of course, completely illogical. Jesus is not only human and divine, but through him we have eternal life. In fact, eternal life is granted to all. But though those who do not believe or have faith are granted this gift, they are not able to receive it. Now, this is a complex concept, and like many of these, it's best illustrated by analogy. And one of the best I've found is in The Last Battle by C.S. Lewis. It's the final story about Narnia and chronicles its last battle and its great last judgment. Now, I've greatly abridged a passage from the chapter, How the Dwarves Refused to be Taken In. A reluctant donkey has been dressed up as a lion in order to pretend he is Aslan the lion, the Narnian Jesus figure. At the end of the last battle, the king and the children are forced into the donkey's stable. But instead of it being the stable, they find themselves in a glorious open countryside. With them have been forced a group of dwarves who do not accept Aslan. Then all the dwarves cocked their heads as if they couldn't see anyone, but were listening hard and trying to guess by the sound what was happening. "Are you blind?" asked Tyrion. "Are we all blind in this dark?" said Diggle. "But it isn't dark," said Lucy. "Can't you see the sky and the trees and the flowers?" The king, Tyrion, tells them off and chides them for not seeing all the wonderful people around them and the beautiful place where they are. They replied, "How can you go on talking all that rot? Your wonderful lion didn't come and help you, did he?" "Thought not. And now, even now, when you've been beaten and shoved into this black hole, just the same as the rest of us, you're still at the old game, starting a new lie, trying to make us believe we're none of us shut up and it ain't dark. Aslan appears, and Lucy asks him to do something for the dwarves. "Dearest," said Aslan, "I will show you both what I can and what I cannot do." Instantly, a glorious feast appeared on the dwarves' knees. Pies and tongues and pigeons and trifles and ices. And each dwarf had a goblet of good wine in his right hand. But it wasn't much use. They began eating and drinking greedily enough, but it was clear that they couldn't taste it properly. They thought they were eating only the things you might find in a stable. So we see that even though Aslan himself tries to enable the dwarves to enjoy or even be aware of the paradise they've entered, they themselves refuse to accept it. They're not going to be taken in. And so it is with so many people today. How can Jesus be God also? A good man, perhaps, but only that. True belief may be difficult for many, but faith is an act of will. Jesus was willing to accept the man who prayed, "Help my unbelief." If we make but a small step towards him, he comes running to take us in his arms. The dwarves in the story prided themselves on their refusal to be taken in. They didn't even wish that they could see what the others did. They were too proud of their own blindness. John has witnessed both humanity and the divinity of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. We are granted eternal life through the grace of Jesus the Divine. In order to receive this, our hearts have only to be open to him and his promise. It isn't a take-in. It's a wonderful, amazing, and delightful gift. Amen.
Thank you, Fran. John and Caitlin are going to lead us now into prayer.
Lord, may there be love in our hearts and power in our thoughts when we pray to you. We know that you are listening and we ask humbly for your will to be done.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Jesus is here with us, ready to speak peace, ready to rejoice with his disciples, ready to empower us for his mission by providing us with the Holy Spirit.
We pray that, as your disciples, your church will always be willing to follow you, ready to proclaim what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do in the future.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
At a time when many question the relevance of the church, give us the presence to be witnesses in the world, witnesses that strengthen the presence of Christ in our communities.
Help us to be the answer to those questions of relevance by what we do and what we are known for.
Make us a welcoming body of Christ in Morley, Smalley and Bredsall, so when people think about the churches of St Matthew's, St John the Baptist and All Saints, they think about the real church, the people of God who worship here.
You invite us to worship. Teach us to sing your praises in all places and in all circumstances.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We remember all those who have gone and all those still to come, as we join together with Christians around the world in saying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead those to not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
How lovely to hear the church prayed for. Thinking of Fran's sermon, I know that there's a little somebody inside of me, as well as in many of the rest of us, that remains resistant to the joy of the kingdom, never mind the people that we witness to outside of the church. And it is hard when life is painful and we see suffering around us to witness to the beauty of God's blessing, to the blessings in our lives, in one another, and the blessing of life to come. Still, to stand in dark places and proclaim that joy, that is hard. Often it is the example of those who've gone before us and for whom we grieve that helps us in this. Jesus himself was facing his own death when he prayed for the joy of his disciples to be complete. Well, the Spirit comes to help us with it all, to help us hold firm to our hope and to the presence of God in our lives. Let us receive God's blessing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon each one of us and those for whom we pray, now and always. Amen. We will finish with a great hymn that looks forward.